Oh man, we are now fully in the season of being stressed out and overwhelmed.
Oh yes, I feel like I'm drowning in my gravy boat.
And that's why it is so nice to be able to do something to help you get through those stressful days, like maybe do a little microdosing.
Yeah, microdosing can seem like a scary concept, but really it's not. And that's because, Bethany, you and I have partnered with Lumi Labs, and they are the creators of microdose gummies. So they have these delicious gummies with very, very, very small amounts of THC for people who are interested in general wellness and performance enhancing purposes.
So I've taken microdose gummies before.
Yeah.
And I really like it because it just sort of rounds the edges off of your stress. It doesn't make you feel weird or floating off the ground. It just kind of lets you be in the moment a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It gets you out of your head. A lot of people use it for a creative boost.
Yes.
Or for sleep or pain or anxiety.
When I feel myself start to spiral,
yeah,
like something very stressful just happened and I know that I'm just going to kind of shut down for the rest of the day, but I have to be productive because there's stuff to get done.
Yeah.
I take a breather. I take a Lumi Labs microdose gummy. I let it seep in. And it's not like I feel a wave of something come over my body. I just sort of feel like back to normal and not stressed.
Yeah. So if you want to try microdose gummies just in time for the holidays to get you through, microdose is available nationwide. And to learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use the code TASTE to get free shipping and 30% off your first order.
Links can be found in our show description, but again, that's microdose.com and then use the code TASTE.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Happy Thanksgiving! This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your road trip taking, moisturizer hoarding. It's easy to pack for a trip when all of your clothes are black because everything matches, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your operating on turbo speed. Instagram is making me feel bad for not being fully decorated for Christmas. My credit score went down 40 points, friend.
Oh no! And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, my topic is a stream of consciousness. Things that I'm like grumpy about, I guess curmudgeon about, one could say. And I'm calling it the bees in my bonnet that I did to myself.
If you've been listening to this podcast for the last couple of weeks, and if you attended our Patreon live show, which as we record this was last night, yeah, November 15th, 2022, Kathleen has some Thanksgiving things that are happening, that are causing some stress. So we will talk about that.
I always do it to myself. Anyway, Bethany, what's on your plate this week?
I am talking about conversation starters you can use with the people at your Thanksgiving.
Oh, you know, this is always good to have in your back pocket.
Yes, because as the introvert of the group, these gatherings can be difficult.
Yes.
And I think it's a good idea to just have some strange news, some weird tidbits, some bizarre stories that you can bust out if you don't know what to talk about, or if you are sick of talking about vaccination statuses and maybe presidential candidates with people in mixed company.
I know, Bethany. You know what? This is going to be so helpful to so many of us. Speaking of introverts, I have very bad news for all the introverts out there.
Uh-oh.
The planet now has 8 billion people on it.
Did you see that meme where they all look like Nick Cannon?
Yeah, they do. Honest to goodness, that man has stamina that I will never know.
I know. He surpassed my friend Dave, who I refuse to hug. Because... Dave has semen, like, he has, I think, 11 children.
Oh, my God.
He pays for all of them. He's a wonderful father. He does what he is to do. But I think Nick Cannon has 13, maybe?
I cannot keep track. At this point, I guess.
Vasectomy.
I guess if you are a woman who has wanted a baby and maybe your other options have like kind of piddled out, finding Nick Cannon is an option.
At this point, I mean, I think it's just, he might as well, right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you how my morning went, Kathleen?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I am normally fairly organized in the morning. Sometimes, you know, I'm rushing near the end to get everything, but seldom am I running in a panic.
Okay. You're fairly organized to me is like extremely organized. Somebody give me a medal.
Okay. So I thought about you quite a bit this morning. So I have a car. Her name is Bubbles.
Oh,
and
hi, Bubbles.
She is wonderful. She is the third member of Dennis's and my production team.
Oh,
she
okay.
hauls everything for us. And a couple of nights ago, we filmed something that we are doing that involves a body bag. Because,
yes.
you know, we do horror films.
Yeah.
So
that makes a lot of sense.
There was a body-shaped plastic bag with tape kind of around the neck, the shoulders, the knees, the toes. So it looks like a body.
What did you stuff in there? Pillows and clothes and whatever?
So we have a skeleton, a plastic skeleton, which is super helpful yeah. if you need the rough outline of a body.
That's amazing.
And then I wrapped the skeleton in some blankets and then put them in trash bags and then tied the trash bags up.
Yeah.
So it really does look like a person with clothes on is
yeah.
in there. So we had wrapped filming this thing around 11 p.m.
Okay.
And the body bag had been in the back of Bubbles with the back seats folded down, and I was too tired to bring the body bag inside. Also, during the filming, we realized that my license plate on the back of Bubbles was visible in the shot. So
oh.
I had to quickly grab a screwdriver, take my license plate off, throw it in the car.
Got it.
So when we wrapped filming, I also was too tired. It was too cold and dark to put that back on.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning, I'm getting ready. I have to catch the train
yeah.
because the early train is the only train that has room for parking. If I catch the later train, parking's gone.
Oh, shoot.
So the train is coming at 8:15. I leave my house at 7:55.
Yes.
I will have plenty of time.
Sure.
7:55, I get into Bubbles.
I can't believe you have to leave at 7:55 to get here.
It's fine. It's
on
a choice
time.
I made. You know, I've got to move away. So I realize I don't know where my phone is.
Yeah.
So I'm digging through my bags, trying to find my phone. And you know you have that bag where everything disappears.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all have that bag.
Yep.
That's why I famously have a purse box.
Yeah.
For when I can't find whatever's in my purse, I dump it all into this one box.
Yep.
And
yep.
then, like, every 6 months, I clean the box out.
Totally. And you always find a lipstick you didn't know you had.
I do.
So I'm dragging through. I can't find anything. I think that I've left my phone in the house. So I get my keys and I pull the car sort of back up towards the house. And when I'm backing up and I'm looking behind me, I see the body bag in the back of the car. And I realize when I park at the train station,
someone's
going to call the cops if there's a body-shaped bag in the back of the car.
And then you're going to have a broken window.
Yes.
And it's only ever going to be your fault.
Totally.
Like the insurance company is being like, well, I see that you're a creative person. They're not going to say that.
No, they're certainly not. And when I see that, I also realize, oh, I'm looking directly at my license plate, which is still off the car.
But you know what? A little more forgivable.
Maybe.
Because you can make it and you'd be like, officer, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
This is true. I didn't know if I was going to get pulled over, blah, blah, blah. So I run back inside, can't find my phone. I bring the body, I'm dragging the body into the front door with me. I grab a screwdriver, run back out, put the license plate back on my car. Finally find my phone, drive to the train station.
Yeah.
I get there. I'm like, okay, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I park. I glance at the number. I run to the payment place where I pay for my lot number.
Oh, you can't do it from your phone?
No.
What kind of backwards world do you live in?
I had a very small town.
Yeah.
So I run. It's about an eighth of a mile from where I parked to the place to pay for the parking.
I'm trying to figure out what an eighth of a mile is, and that still feels pretty far to me.
It feels far enough that you're winded when you run it.
Yeah.
With two purses.
That you're like, oh, is my bra going to make it?
Totally. Yeah. And mine didn't. So I get there and I realize I don't know for sure what my parking slot number was. I think I know what it is, but I am not positive. And I yell, fuck! And I run the eighth of a mile back to my car.
No.
I see that it was the wrong number. So I was lucky.
Really?
Yeah. I remembered the wrong number. Ran all the way back. Paid for my car, paid for the slot,
yeah.
get the receipt. Then I start running up the stairs to cross the bridge to get over to where the train is now. I hear it honking. It's on its way. And my bag collapses.
No, it
Everything
doesn't.
Everything falls out.
No, it doesn't.
So I have to reach down because I have this cheap-ass purse. The strap finally gave. I grab. I put everything in. I'm swearing. I sound like Joe Pesci at the in Home Alone where he's like, so I'm throwing everything in. And then my asthma kicks in because it's cold out. So I'm running up these stairs. And then the train pulls in and I can see it from the like bridge across the train way.
No.
I can see the bridge coming under... the train coming underneath me. So I go, fuck, and I run to the other side and I run all the way down and a woman smoking a cigarette goes, don't slip.
Oh my God.
And I run.
Lady.
And I run onto the train. Like, as I get there, the doors open and I just run onto the train. I sit down. I pull my inhaler out like a big nerd. I puff my inhaler. I take every layer I have off, and I'm wearing only a scant tank top on the train while everyone else is bundled up. And I'm like, and that is better than any cup of coffee to wake you up.
Dang, Bethany, I need a nap. I need like a Gatorade after listening to that story.
It was so stressful because I am not someone who really, I always give myself too much time.
Yeah.
And that, I was like, how does Kathleen deal with this level of stress?
Yeah, yeah.
When you're going somewhere, how do you deal with this level of stress?
Botox. No.
I don't even know what that means.
I haven't gotten Botox yet. Well, stress gives you wrinkles.
Oh, gotcha.
But like maybe soon. But welcome to my side of the world.
How do you handle it?
You know what? I, like you, Bethany, today we're sitting here recording this high quality, fine content podcast. And you have delivered an excellent story to us.
This is true. But at what cost?
At the cost of being on time.
Dennis pointed out this morning that he was looking back at one of the live streams we did yesterday, and I was apparently just wringing my hands the whole time. And he goes, Bethany, that's a sign of anxiety. I was like, absolutely. So I texted you on as you were on your way here. I texted you and I said, by the way, I'm not wearing makeup today. Don't be alarmed when you see me.
Yes.
And your response was, I'm crying on the Uber. So we're in the same place.
I'm crying in the Uber.
So we're all just kind of, judge a listener, if you're falling apart, you're in very good company.
Very good company. But you know what? It is like the time of year when we should all be falling apart.
Completely. Yeah. If you're not falling apart on or around Thanksgiving.
Who are you?
You're not paying attention.
No. Are you even human?
No. Are you humans or are you dancers? All right, gentle listener. If you are listening to this in real time.
Yes.
It's Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get this episode out early just to give everybody the tools that they need to be ready for Thanksgiving, right?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. I say that now, but like.
We've never gotten anything out early. Are you kidding me? All right. So I'm going to give you some weird stories, some bizarre facts, just that you can bring these up.
Love it.
At Thanksgiving.
Love it.
Excuse me. I just drank some seltzer water.
I have been using Eisenhower and the aliens like a little bit too much.
These are some new ones.
It's been like 2 years, so I need to phase it out.
Great. Here we go. I need to know after I read this story to you, Kathleen, what you would do. Okay. A lot of this is from Bored Panda, which takes it from Reddit.
Oh, I love Bored Panda.
Yeah. Here we go. So there is somebody on Reddit who said, quote, I just found out I've been dating my biological brother for 6 years.
Oh, 6 years.
Okay, here we go. Here's the story. This is from the Redditor. Okay. I'm 30. Mm-hmm. My brother is 32. I'm just going to call him my boyfriend for the majority of the time. I feel weird about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was adopted as a baby, but I didn't know I was adopted until I was in high school. I didn't feel betrayed or care very much. I love my parents. My parents love me.
Okay, great.
Who cares if they aren't my biological parents, right? Yeah. So then she said, my boyfriend was also adopted, and when we met, it was one of the things we sort of bonded over.
I can see that.
Yeah. They both didn't learn that they had been adopted until high school, and they both were just super fine. They both had been adopted into really wonderful families. They had great upbringings.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship, she says, was and still is great. We understood each other very fast. We were attracted to each other quickly. I've never met someone and felt immediate attraction and familiarity.
Oh, no.
Now I know that the comfort and familiarity is because he's my brother.
Oh, God.
Not my half brother.
Uh-huh.
My full brother.
Full brother?
Okay, so then.
Oh.
She continues.
Yeah.
We've done everything a couple that has been together for 6 years could do. We've said we love each other.
Uh-huh.
We've had sex.
Yeah.
We've celebrated anniversaries. Yeah. We've met each other's families.
Yeah.
She went on and said the good news, and maybe the only saving grace here, is that they both realized they do not want to have children.
Okay.
Which is good.
Yeah.
For some genetic reasons.
Chromosomal reasons.
Right. So she said, I don't want to deal with the health risks and have to raise a child and let them know their parents are siblings. So this is how this happened.
Okay.
She goes, I discovered it when we did the DNA test thing to see our ancestry and what exactly we are.
I know that you don't want to do it, Bethany, but like for reasons like this, what if you and Dennis are siblings? I mean, you both have similar tastes in movies. and creepiness, and you both like cats and the color black.
I mean, look.
You're walking a very thin line.
I mean, the only saving grace for me is that one of my sisters is adopted, and my family was very open about it.
Yes.
And so I think that if I was adopted and they didn't tell me, but they did tell my younger sister, that would be weird.
Yes.
But you're right. But you're totally right. Well, it's possible.
Years ago, didn't we have, you knew somebody, or there was somebody that wrote into the podcast where everybody in the family knew that this one person was adopted?
Yes.
Except for that person.
Yes.
Who was actually adopted.
Yes.
Like, that is such a messed up situation.
Two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
I know. Okay.
All right. She continues. We spit in the tube. We sent it out.
Yeah.
It took a month for the results to come back, and I was excited to see what we were. But before I could even get to that, I saw that we were siblings. I was shocked, to say the least. So she goes, I only just found out this information. I haven't told my boyfriend. I'm really hoping they made a mistake. But things are starting to make sense now. We always get the, you guys look so alike.
Oh, it's that siblings are dating.
Yeah, siblings are dating.
Oh.
She said, long before this test, we've always gotten compared, but we would always just laugh it off. I've spent the morning looking at pictures of us together and realizing that we really do look so alike. I don't know what to do.
I mean, you're attracted to yourself. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
She says, I still love my boyfriend's brother.
Oh, God.
And we've been together for 6 years. We have a house together and a whole life. I'm hoping this test is wrong and I will do a real test soon, but I'm panicking. I still see him as the love of my life. So she does an update. She says, I posted this the other day, and since then I showed him the results and he realized we're siblings. He doesn't want to freak out or make any big decisions until we get a real test somewhere.
Yeah.
But I can tell he's freaked out, and it was odd laying in bed next to him.
Yeah.
So,
but you can't find out these results and then be like, well, just for tonight, I'm going to sleep in another bed, because then you alienate this person completely. Yep. And then no matter what you decide, the relationship has already started to unravel.
So they include some of the people's responses on Reddit, and there is a pretty clear consensus amongst the commenters.
Okay.
Now, Kathleen, before I tell you what the consensus is.
Yeah.
Let's say you found out,
oh God,
that Neil was your brother, which is possible because you guys do look quite a bit alike.
Okay, we absolutely do not.
So let's say you're not interested in children.
Uh-huh.
Would you say, let's just move on with our lives together and just not tell anyone? Or would you have to end it?
I would have to end it. But I would want to end it and for us to find different partners and then for everybody to live in the same house.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the general consensus was, the reason it's gross for siblings to sleep together, besides the genetic fucked upery that could result, is that growing up together, you form this sibling bond.
Yes.
Which is then gross to breach by having sex with each other.
Yeah, it's an unwritten contract.
Yes. A lot of people pointed out that you two were not raised together.
Yeah.
You have different parents. You're not looking to procreate. Go ahead and date. Just don't tell anyone.
Interesting.
How does that make you feel?
I see where they're coming from now.
Yep.
I would, though, beg people in this situation to, in case there are any oopsies, like, take surgical precautions.
Yes.
As to not have any children.
Yep.
As not to, you know, do that to a human who has no choice over the matter.
Yep.
Okay. I think I'm okay with them staying together. Are you? Not that my opinion matters in their world, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
They never would have known. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, life would have been normal. They're not looking to have kids.
Yeah.
One person said, Murphy Zero said, at this point, go with it. Royals have done this for centuries. Just be royal about it.
I would go to a hypnotist and try and get it erased from my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. One person commented, the part about sibling incest that makes it gross is primarily that siblings are raised together in the same family unit and have a psychological bond that's unique to siblings. Defying that psychology is what makes it gross. You don't have that at all, not even a little. You met him as a stranger when you were reaching adulthood and you fell in love.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you siblings at all in the same way.
Now, in the name of science, if you were in this situation, would you find like a world-renowned psychologist and let them, that person and their team, study you?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, no, no. Mm-hmm. No, no, no. Because I don't want anyone to know that I'm dating my brother.
Yeah. I mean, okay. There are other, I'm thinking of me and Bert, and there are other things. We look alike. Vaguely. If we stand next to each other, you're like, oh, you're siblings, but really not that much alike. But I can tell you that when we're standing at the beach together and our feet are all lined up, I look down and I say, you're my brother.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
Excellent Thanksgiving fodder.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Here's a couple of shorties, and then I'm going to tell you my favorite story I've heard in a long, long, long time.
Oh, hit me with the shorties.
Okay, here's some shorties. Somebody was going through their parents' house, like cleaning stuff out.
Yeah.
Do you know the serial killer John Wayne Gacy?
I've heard of him. I don't know the details.
He was the one who dressed up as a party clown and like did party like clown stuff. And then he like murdered a bunch of children.
Oh, children. Yes.
So he was apparently like a construction worker or a contractor in his daytime life.
Okay.
This person cleaning out their parents' house found John Wayne Gacy's business card while going through his parents' stuff. It says PDM Contractors, John Gacy.
Wow.
In Norwood Park, Illinois, which is so creepy.
Well, they're lucky to be alive.
They're lucky to be alive.
That's pretty cool. I'm trying to think if there's ever been a close brush with death in my life. Has there ever been one in yours? I was there a day ahead of time, or I met that person once.
I mean, nothing that's like sort of whimsically fun to talk about. I've been like at locations like a week before a shooting took place there. But that's not. You know.
Yeah.
No. What about you? Did you ever accidentally almost hire a serial killer as your contractor? You've worked with a lot of contractors.
I have. Yes. Not to my knowledge. But
I mean, we don't know yet.
We don't know yet. Yeah.
Things haven't come out yet.
Oh, God.
Okay. Someone moved into a new house.
Uh-huh.
And they received a letter in the mail, clearly for the previous resident, and they hadn't, like, submitted a change of address form.
You know, I always wonder, if it's addressed to your house and you open it up, but it's not addressed to you, is that a federal crime?
I think so.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
I have no idea of getting in touch with, the people who lived in my house before.
Yeah, they didn't leave a forwarding address. It's not their business nor yours.
I will tell you this. In college, a Christmas card came to the house. I had no idea who this girl was. I tried to find her on the internet, couldn't. So I opened up the Christmas card, and it was from her dad, who was estranged. And he was like, you know, I really miss you, blah, blah, blah. And I think that I put like a note back in and sent it back to him as like, she doesn't live here anymore.
That was nice of you.
But it was really like the saddest thing, which is why if you're trying to find someone who's estranged, like make a photocopy of the card. Mm-hmm. So if you find out they don't live where you thought they lived, you don't have to like come up with all those heartwarming words again.
Good idea. Always see work smarter, not harder. So this is a card that they received.
Yeah.
To the previous tenant, clearly. It said, dear whoever, they blocked the name out. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. P.S. Have a fantastic Christmas. Somehow, you have never ever left my mind. One way or another, I hold you responsible for so many horrible things that happened to many people.
What?
Inclusive of the death of one person. I thought it might be appropriate to send you a pile of shit in a box of milk tray chocolates.
Huh.
Then thought that decision would make me no better than you.
I feel I wrote this message. Wait, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
From a real hater.
Ooh.
So this person caused deaths, maybe.
That is seething.
Isn't that crazy?
But also, like, if that person was really responsible for someone's death, wouldn't they be in jail? But maybe, like, they got away with it.
Sometimes people get a little unhinged.
Yeah.
Here's another example of people getting a little unhinged.
Yeah.
Someone checked into an Airbnb, and it was the kind of thing where the hosts were there.
Oh.
So you, like, rent a room.
I hate that.
I refuse.
Yeah, me too.
This person said, my hosts were friendly in the beginning and kept offering me drinks throughout the entire day.
Hmm.
It was fun till it escalated to her yelling at me about not having gone through any pain my entire life and how her life was filled with it.
Then
it led to her trying to throw punches at me.
Oh, okay. See, that is when I try to capitalize on a really bad situation where I start recording. I set up my phone propped up on the wall that it gets the whole room.
Totally.
And then I'm like, I'm just your Airbnb guest. Are you trying to assault me?
Yeah. Get all of the exposition out right away so you can set the scene.
Like, I don't want to be Sue happy, but that is like a really...
That's really scary.
Okay, two things, Bethany.
Sure.
The first one about the you were responsible for somebody's death.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this.
Uh-oh.
Based off of the FX show, The Patient.
Okay, what's this about?
It's about a therapist, Steve Carell. I'm telling you, it is amazing.
Okay.
I told Neil's mom about it, and she texted me. She's like, I have done nothing for 2 days. I went to sleep, slept for 4 hours, woke up, continued watching the next day. Steve Carell is this therapist, and he's kidnapped. And that's all I want to tell you.
Okay, amazing.
But should you ever be kidnapped and then subsequently killed?
Sure.
And I just am thinking that maybe we should all get our names and social security numbers like tattooed on the inside of our butt cheek.
Okay.
Because when they find the body,
yeah,
then they'll be able to identify you.
I mean, why not? You know, why not?
Why not? Right?
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, I'm open to that.
Yeah. Huh.
Or at least just your name.
Or your name. Or like, is there some sort of little metal plate you can get embedded?
Now that's where people start worrying about the government.
Like in your forearm, should you ever go missing and years later, like your body decomposes. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you have a little metal plate, like a little name plate embedded in your forearm.
Like a tracking, like we do with our pets.
The person who kills you doesn't know that. And then your body decomposes. So maybe even like your social security number written on your butthole wouldn't work at that point because, you know, your skin is going to fall off and decompose.
So now it's butthole.
But like your body decomposes, but that metal plate doesn't. And so when they find your remains, they know who you are.
Yeah, but similar, I see what you're saying. I am going to push back a little bit because similar to how they'll like, you know, remove teeth and fingerprints.
Yeah.
I think it will become so normalized for everyone to get these little chips that they'll also just cut your chip out.
Okay.
Unless you make it a real, like, you get the chip wherever you want it, and then they just don't know where you put it.
Well, I mean, that's an option,
like,
too.
Button, who's got the button?
Button, who's got... Okay, second thought on this.
Yeah, bring it.
Talking about the Airbnb.
Yeah.
Did you see... You know how I was complaining? I was being such a brat. I can't remember if it was, like, on an episode or a bonus or a live show recently. I was being such a brat. I was complaining about how when you stay in Airbnbs, like, why do you have to pay the cleaning service fees?
Yeah.
Because they make you clean the house before you leave.
Yeah.
And how I thought it was so refreshing. I stayed in an Airbnb where they didn't make me carry down my dirty sheets and towels. Apparently, I am not alone in this.
No, you're not alone.
There's been news coming out that Airbnb needs to be more transparent with the cleaning fees because other people also don't want to have to like rush around and do the rigmarole of cleaning the whole house.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, before they check out. That's why I prefer hotels.
Yeah, and also they don't like spy on you or yell at you about not having any struggle in your life.
I know.
Okay, I'm going to do a... Okay, hold on a second. I haven't stayed in Airbnb in a while, and I don't think I'm ever going to stay in one again.
Yeah, I mean, well, now that they've changed their cleaning policy, I'm warming up to it.
Yeah, have they changed their don't spy on me with a camera policy? All right. You know how the newly rich spend stupid money on stupid things?
Yeah, like Teslas.
Yeah. Teslas are, I think, you know, anyway. we need to get away from fossil fuels.
Yes.
There is a $390 Gucci swimsuit, which is great. Buy a swimsuit, whatever.
Yeah.
You cannot swim in it.
What?
Because the fabric cannot come into contact with pool water or it will be ruined.
Oh, Bethany.
So this is a lounging swimsuit. And actually, $390 seems pretty cheap for a Gucci product.
Yeah. But maybe it's because it's non-functional.
Yeah, it's purely a non-functional swimsuit.
I mean, really good swimsuits with good quality material. If you go into one of those, like, I don't know, like swimsuit-only stores in the mall, everything but water or whatever they're called. Yeah. Like, a really good swimsuit can cost you up to $150.
Yeah.
So the Gucci one doesn't seem like that much higher.
I mean, yeah, no, it seems like a fairly, that's probably maybe the most reasonably priced Gucci thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've seen a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of stupid rich things.
Yes.
Louis Vuitton
mm-hmm.
sells an $810 jump rope named Christopher.
Stop. No. What? I mean, it's not a freaking American Girl doll. It's a jump rope.
The jump rope comes with a book belt that you put your school books in and then throw them over your soldier on your shoulder on the way to your one room schoolhouse.
What the hell? A jump rope named Christopher?
Yeah.
Actually, that would be a cute children's book now I think about it.
Oh, yeah. A jump rope. And he has to like find his mom.
Yeah. Yeah. They go on an adventure.
Yeah. Him and a paperclip. All right. Here is my favorite story that I have read in a really long time.
Okay.
So a man ruined his entire romantic relationship by pretending not to know what a potato is.
No.
So here is the story. It's under the Today I Fucked Up page.
Oh.
Today I fucked up by enraging the parents of my girlfriend by pretending not to know what a potato is. He said, let me tell you, I have made a bad mistake this evening.
Oh, no.
My girlfriend, who, let me tell you, is only my second girlfriend of all time.
Oh, yeah. So you're kind of like a newbie.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're just a nice guy.
Maybe you're just a nice guy. Yeah. Nice guys get walked all over.
Yeah.
She said, I'm invited to dinner with her and her parents. I was aghast, nervous, and bashful to be invited to such a situation, but I knew it must be done. Yeah. You got to meet the parents. I met them nicely, and he kept saying, I should tell you, I love people's little writing quirks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like the thing you go back to all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I should tell you, it started off in a good way. The idea slapped my mind that I should do a comic bit to make a good impression and become known to them as a person who was amusing. This feels like it was put in Google Translate.
Yeah.
When I saw that baked potatoes were served, I got the idea that it would be very good if I pretended I did not know what potatoes was.
I can't.
That would be funny, he writes.
You know what? It is very funny.
Yeah. He writes, well, let me tell you.
Oh, God.
Backfired on my face. I'll tell you how. He goes, when first the potato became on my plate.
Uh-huh,
mm-hmm. I acted very interesting.
Mm.
I showed an expression on my face so as to seem that I was confused.
Okay.
Astounded, but in a restrained way. Curious and interested.
How you say cucumber?
How you say cucumber? This is written by Hillary from Massachusetts.
Yes.
They did notice, he continues, and seemed confused, but they did not remark. So I asked, this looks very interesting. What is this?
Oh, my God.
So apparently the parents kind of stare at him and mom's like, that's a baked potato. And the guy goes, a baked what? She's like, a potato. And he goes, potato. Interesting. Never heard of potato. Looks pretty good.
Oh, my God.
So they didn't think he was making a joke or anything.
Yeah.
But they thought, I really did not know what is potato.
So, but what is going through the girlfriend's head?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
So he continues. He goes, I knew I would be very shamed, humiliated, depressed, and disgusted if I admitted to making a bad joke. So what I did was to act as if it was not a joke. I committed to the act of pretending I didn't know what a potato is.
He committed to the bit.
He can always commit to the bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told them I did never ever hear of potato. I had never eaten potato, never heard the word potato. So he said that after this is going on for a little while, his girlfriend was super confused and embarrassed. And the more he insisted he did not know what potato was, the parents started thinking he did know what potato was. They're like, there's no way you don't know potato.
Oh, but I mean, from the girlfriend's perspective, how I can see how she might be embarrassed because
yes.
her parents think that she has brought home a total and complete idiot.
Idiot!
Like, what, dude, what have you existed on all of these years? Like, cans of corn or something?
How you say potato?
And then she's probably screaming at him like, John, you know what a potato is.
You must have eaten a potato.
John, I've eaten potatoes with you.
Don't you remember potato?
Why are you doing this?
He said, well, let me tell you.
Oh, God.
I had to commit 100% at this point.
Yeah.
When I would not admit to knowing what a potato was, uh-huh. the father especially became annoyed.
Okay.
He said, enough is enough. You're fucking with us. Admit it.
Oh, my God.
And I said, sir, before today, I had never heard of a potato. I still don't know what a potato is, other than some kind of food. I don't know what to tell you. So he said, well, let me tell you. He got very annoyed. I decided to take a bite of the potato. And when I did, I made a high-pitched noise and said, tastes very strange.
Oh, my God.
That is when the father started yelling at me.
Oh, God.
The mother kept saying, what are you doing? And my girlfriend went to another room.
I can't. Like, what is this starchy vegetable? And then they're like, you know what it is. You know what a starchy vegetable is.
I picture dad screaming, mom sitting in the corner and crying, and the girlfriend has just left.
Okay, so say you're the mom, or Bethany, say you're the dad in this situation.
Yeah.
If somebody did this to you, would you really be that upset? I would start recording them and put it on TikTok.
I think I would if I could tell he was lying.
Okay.
And I'd be like, why are you being so dumb?
Yeah.
We can tell you're lying, you dumb idiot. Would you be that mad?
No. I would just be like, keep notes and then like writing a story about it to my friends later
on. So finally, the father said I should, quote, get the fuck out of his house.
Oh, my God.
And I guess he doubles down.
Oh, my God.
He said, I said it was irrational to treat me like this just because I'd never heard of a potato before. Well, let me tell you, he says, he didn't take that kindly. now this is after the fact. He's home. Everything's over. Dinner's done.
Yeah.
He says, now in text messages, I've been telling my girlfriend, I really don't know what a potato is.
Oh, my God.
The only way I can ever get out of this is for them to buy that I don't know what a potato is.
You can never admit that you knew.
Ever. He said, I wish I never started it, but I can't go back. I think she will break up with me anyway.
I think that the only way to move forward in life is to break up.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So people left a couple of recommendations. One person, Mingus Eyes, said, invite your girlfriend to meet your parents.
Yeah.
Have your father take her aside and ask if potatoes were served at the dinner with her parents.
Uh-huh.
When she says yes, have him look alarmed and mutter something about wanting to keep them from him and never mention the subject again.
Huh.
Also, someone says, when confronted about this horrible joke, insist it never happened with the same level of commitment. So just gaslight her.
Yeah.
Be like, this never happened.
What's the syndrome called when you can't remember, you lose your memories?
Amnesia.
What if it was possible that somebody had a traumatic experience in their childhood with a food, like a potato, and then developed potato amnesia? So every time they were introduced to a potato, they felt like they were eating it for the first time. Like, that to me is a good explanation.
Yeah, totally. Traumatic incident involving potato.
Yeah.
T-I-I-P.
Trip. I suffer from trip. Have you ever heard of it?
A traumatic incident involving a tomato potato. One person said, when she tells you she's breaking up with you, insist that you don't know what a breakup is. Commit to it. Exert your dominance.
Oh, we break up? What is breakup?
What is breakup? I don't know what breakup is. So anyway, gentle listeners, if there is a potato served at your Thanksgiving dinner, this is a great opportunity to bring up the potato and have some conversations that aren't about politics for once.
Bethany.
Kathleen.
Bees in my bonnet that I did to myself.
Okay.
I am such a curmudgeon lately, and I cannot get myself out of this curmudgeonly funk, and I've been yelling at strangers.
Oh no.
I'm joking. I haven't been yelling at strangers. Okay. But I do need your opinion on one thing. So item number one on my list.
Okay.
The people in my building.
Yeah.
Okay. Bethany, and maybe it's not my building, maybe it's just my floor, but the people on my floor are the most entitled a-holes. And let me tell you, I don't even live in a luxury building or anything. I don't have a pool. I'm joking. There's no Peloton in the gym in my building.
No,
I'm joking. So we have a room on every floor has a garbage room.
Okay.
A trash room.
Yeah.
And there's a trash chute, and you bring your trash bag and you drop it down the chute and it goes to the garage.
Yeah.
And then there's these big receptacles. One is for paper recycling.
Okay.
And then one is for cans and plastic.
Sure.
I cannot tell you how many times I have opened up the paper recycling and found freaking cans in there, and opened up the can recycling and seen paper in there.
Yeah.
And it's like, get out of here. We're mostly all homeowners, condo owners in my building.
Yeah.
So it's not a rental where you would expect people to sort of behave that way.
Sure.
I mean, even if I were living in a rental, I wouldn't behave that way.
No.
Because there is a man who comes every couple days. He cleans everything out. He makes sure that the receptacles are clean. Bethany, I want to start knocking on people's doors and handing them like a very sternly written letter from myself and walking away.
Yeah.
I cannot take it.
It is, the level of entitlement is so frustrating.
Oh.
I feel like it's gotten worse.
And I just cannot fathom why an adult, why any self-respecting adult would open up a receptacle where there are only cans inside and then put their paper recycling in there.
Yeah. No, it's laziness and an entitlement. Yeah.
Or like, that's why I always really basically, no matter what, in my elder age of mid-30s, I return my shopping cart. Like, no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. You have to. Or you give it to the next person who's coming in.
Yes.
Like, you need a car?
Yeah. Like, once in a while, if I'm rushing and if I'm not going to put any other car in danger, like, leaving my cart, like, I will leave it there. 99% of the time I return it. Mm. I don't understand people who never return it.
No, it's just laziness.
I mean, all you have to do is, like, one little item.
Yeah.
And somebody else doesn't have to pick up after you.
I think I've told this story before, but I was dating a different boyfriend.
Yes.
And we went on a road trip and we were bringing one of his friends along to like kind of give him a ride halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And we would stop and get food. And this friend, when he was done eating, would just throw his garbage out the side of the moving car. And I was like, excuse you.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And he's like, why not? And I said, the earth, Mother Earth, respect your Mother Earth. And the rest of the ride, he was like, oh, I can't throw things out the window because Bethany wants me to respect my mother.
Oh, my God.
The way he said it, he kept saying, respect my mother. And I was like, you are an adult douchebag.
So should I leave a note from Kathleen? Maybe I won't. I'll just put my initials, KH.
I mean, they're gonna know.
Or like, maybe I'll just sign it with a thumbprint or something. Like, hey, a-holes, you know, I don't know. I don't want to name the guy that is the maintenance guy. Let's call him Stan.
Sure, Stan.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Be freaking respectful of Stan, you entitled a-holes.
Yeah.
And put your recycling in the right receptacle.
I absolutely think you should. Stand up for Stan. Man. Because I think there are some people who believe that having a job like cleaning out the recycling bins is a result of not working hard enough or not wanting a different job or whatever. It's like people are getting the job, whatever jobs they can get right now.
Yeah.
And believing that you are better in some way than someone who cleans the receptacles is just a level of insanity that's unacceptable.
Unfreaking acceptable. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of the people in my building. So I was moving some boxes from the can receptacle to the paper receptacle, and I saw a box of cornflakes, and it got me thinking, when was the last time you had ice cold milk, dairy milk from a cow, ice cold, Bethany, 2% with cornflakes and a sliced up ice cold banana.
At least a decade.
Doesn't that sound
sounds so good?
Wonderful.
I know our lactose intolerant listeners are probably going like, oh,
I know.
But if you can process lactose.
Yeah.
Oof.
I know. It sounds like such a it sounds so wholesome.
Growing up, I used to put ice in my milk.
Really?
Because I saw it in a commercial once. And I remember it grossed out my family.
Yeah.
But
it is pretty gross.
Yeah. But I saw it in a commercial with a ballerina. It was like a close-up of the ballerina on her toe shoes. And next to her toe shoes, next to her on point, was a glass of milk with ice in it.
Yeah, jokes on everybody because ballerinas probably don't drink milk.
No.
They drink air. No,
they drink air.
That is a generalization. And I take that back.
No, they are athletes. They must eat.
Okay. Food waste, Bethany.
Yeah.
I think a lot about food waste.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so happy that I've started composting.
I'm so jealous you can compost. I suppose we could compost.
You could compost. You have a backyard, a whole backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, it's super easy. I'll tell you this. A lot of times when you type in how to compost into Google, you know, all these things like on Wayfair and Amazon pop up and they're like, buy this special compost trash bin for $200. Mm. I'll tell you what. I guess technically it's supposed to be food safe. Do you know if the Tupperware, like the big moving Tupperware containers that you get at Target are food safe?
I have no idea.
I imagine
they
have to be because you might store food in there.
You're not gonna
fill a one of those tubs with chili and eat the chili right out of it.
No.
But
I don't. You know what? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so technically, I will say this. Any container that you do compost in is supposed to be food grade.
Sure.
Because, you know, chemicals and BP whatevers and leach into the whatever. So I just got a big tub, you know, big container, plastic container. I put it in my mom's backyard.
Okay.
I took plants that had kind of died, but they had the good soil still in them.
Yeah.
Put that soil in there as like a starter. Then for a couple months now, ever since I'm gonna say like July, I've been bringing my food scraps to her house. We put it in the tub. We mix. And when there gets to be too many flies, you need to add things with nitrogen. So like brown leaves falling off the trees or brown paper bags that are recyclable. And it makes me feel so much better.
Growing up, we had a compost heap in the backyard. We had it behind the trees.
Yes.
And we just threw everything out there.
Yeah,
it just never even occurred to me that that was like a progressive thing to do.
It
came up probably to my hips now.
Wow.
It was huge. It was a big heap of shite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're like doing Mother Nature a favor.
Yeah.
Because I know there are people who make this argument. Oh, I'm going to put food in the trash and then it'll compost. But when you put food waste in a regular trash, it doesn't compost in the same way. And it actually releases gases that are bad for the environment when it's in like a regular non-compostable environment.
Sure. That makes sense.
So I will say that. How did I get onto that topic? Compost.
I don't know. Food waste.
Food waste. Oh, here we go. So here's the food waste.
Okay.
I was out to brunch with my friend on Sunday.
Okay.
And I paid. Okay.
Okay.
So it's not even a matter of like who bought the food. I was a treat to see her. She drove an hour to see me. I paid for brunch. She got a burger. She didn't finish it. So she gets it wrapped up and she brings it back to my house. We were visiting for a little bit. Yeah. I put it in the fridge for her.
Okay.
She leaves and forgets the burger.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, you have to eat it.
Yeah.
You have to eat the burger.
Yeah.
So it doesn't go to waste.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah. Maybe I'll do that. I really do hate food waste. It's kind of an odd thing. But then I remembered that she had like not a cold, but she was like sniffling a little bit.
Oh.
And so I threw the burger away. Mm-hmm. And should I have just like cut off the part where that touched her lips?
No, I would have composted it.
You can't compost burgers.
You can't?
You can't compost like meat and animal products. No.
Why not?
I mean,
nature.
Maybe you can, but there are things in there that mess with the decomposition of like the other vegetable products.
Oh man.
I know. It's in a situation like that. What do you do?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think if there's like a potential for illness, I think I hate, especially with animal products, I hate to throw it away because it's like an animal died.
Yeah.
But I think you have to throw it away, unfortunately.
It reminds me of this time once in high school. I was out to dinner with my friend Doug. Mm-hmm. We went to Houston's, fine dining chain restaurant in Houston's. And he got the lobster roll.
Yeah.
And I had it in my like takeaway bag by accident. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to put this lobster roll in the fridge. He's like, yes, please do. I'm going to come back the next day and get my lobster roll leftovers.
Yeah.
Because lobster is expensive, right?
Yeah, right.
And so I put it in the fridge. And when I woke up the next morning, my dad had eaten it.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm like, do I pay? I should have paid Doug out for the half of his leftovers.
Who eats someone else's leftovers? If I came home and there were not to like speak ill of your father, rest his soul.
Yeah.
But like if I came home and I saw someone's leftovers, it would never occur to me that I get to eat them. Would you think that?
Okay, but Bethany, if you're the parent of children and you know that it's the children's leftovers and you pay for their life, technically you bought those leftovers.
I suppose.
You know? Like say you're starving, you've had a hard day's work.
Yeah.
And the only thing in the fridge is this lobster roll leftover from your teenage daughter's half date.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, like, what do I get? I get pittance and my teenage daughter is eating lobster roll.
Yeah, that's true. Especially lobster roll. You know, it's expensive.
Speaking of eating other people's food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This thing happened where, okay, I ordered a salad for dinner.
Okay.
Right? Neil and I ordered salads.
Yeah.
I treated us to an organic lemon thyme gluten-free donut.
Okay.
With our salads.
Great.
We were trying to be really healthy.
Yeah.
I like jacked it up with like an extra portion of kale.
Great.
Right?
Sure.
Apples, a little goat cheese.
Okay.
Some dates, some roasted chicken.
Wow.
Really delicious.
Okay.
Right? Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Neil goes downstairs to the lobby to meet the Uber Eats guy because I never ask them to come get in the elevator and come up because I think it's so rude.
And waste their time.
And a waste of their time.
And someone's going to steal their bike.
And then, they got to wait for the elevator.
Yeah.
And then we live like all the way on the other side of the terminal and...
an airport?
I know.
Do you live in an airport?
No, I'm just, it's the thing that
Is that why you won't give me your address?
Every time I fly, I'm always the last stop in the terminal.
I know.
And also my apartment is the last stop in the building.
It's like when you see your gate is 48C and the sign goes gates 1 through 48 and you're like, oh no.
I know.
Mine is the last one of those.
It always is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, so Neil went down to the lobby to meet the guy and he hands off the food to the guy. The guy holds up his phone and shows him like Neil S whatever receipt.
Yeah.
Okay. Neil's like, okay, great. But walks into the lobby, takes like a few steps and he's like, wait a minute. This is kind of heavy for two salads.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Opens it up. Not our food.
Uh-oh.
Like it is addressed to a receipt inside the bag that says John C.
Uh-oh. John C. Riley?
Maybe.
Lives in your building?
But not in my building. Like Uber Eats, you know, is delivering all over Hoboken,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
So then Neil gets on the phone because poor guy, he knows I'm trying to eat better at night.
Yeah.
And he's like, Kathleen doesn't want these carbs.
Okay.
He's like calling the Uber guy,
yeah,
like furiously, like, please bring back our salads.
Yeah.
And the Uber guy has already sped away on his bike.
Yeah.
He's not picking up the phone. Neil comes upstairs and he's like, what do we do? I'm like, I don't know. We're starving at this point.
Yeah.
We're famished. We didn't have any of the the 100 almond calorie packs.
What are you going to do?
All out of them,
yeah,
right? And I know I'm supposed to pack up for backup.
Yeah.
And that's what my nutritionist Rachel says. Pack up for backup. And so I had to
yeah,
eat the Chinese food.
It was Chinese food.
It was
delicious.
Chinese food.
Yeah.
And it was like from the really good expensive Chinese place. It was $60 worth of Chinese food.
That's actually cheap for Chinese food if you get it delivered.
I know.
What was it?
It was like chicken and broccoli and dumplings.
Oh, God. And was there lo mein?
There was lo mein.
Oh, God.
I know. I know. And fried rice.
Oh, kill me.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And so I ate it.
Yeah.
And Rachel was like, well, you should have had like, you know, something in the freezer as backup. And I'm like, Rachel.
Backup to backup.
I'm like, Rachel, but food waste.
Yeah.
So I ate it. And then I ate it the next day too.
Sure. Okay, great. You know what? No food waste.
Okay. I feel so bad. Should we have tried to find John C? Or should I have just like maybe, you can't really freeze Chinese food, can you?
I don't know. Here's the thing. Even if you had gotten hold of the Uber Eats gentleman or John C, they probably would, I doubt John C would have wanted the food because now it's been in a stranger's house and you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly would have gone to waste.
Yeah.
And I think that you did what I probably would have done.
Yeah.
If you can't get a hold of the person,
mm-hmm.
and you're starving,
mm-hmm.
you don't want the food to go to waste.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Don't beat yourself up about that.
I have something to tell you that I'm really excited about.
You don't sound excited at all.
No,
that's
I know.
A big sigh.
Okay. Kathleen. Kathleen, get into character. Boom, boom, boom. No, I'm really excited to tell you this.
Okay.
Neil, my husband, my darling, beloved husband.
Yes.
Is going gray.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And he is so freaking hot.
I am so envious of you.
Yeah.
Neil is already a good-looking gentleman.
Thank you.
He is going to only get hotter with age.
It is coming in on the sides of his sides of his head, like in his sideburns or whatever.
Yeah, the temple area.
And like in his beard when he grows it out, it's like a little gray.
How old is he? Can you say?
It's his birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Neil.
Yeah, he is turning 39.
Okay, I have said this to Dennis's face.
Uh-huh.
I am dating him now as an investment in the future because Dennis has not started to go gray yet.
Really?
And it is driving me crazy. I am attracted to him regardless.
Yes.
But he has like nearly jet black hair, mm-hmm. and not a speck of gray.
He does sometimes though paint like a streak of
yes.
white into his hair.
Which is nice.
Yeah, that's intentional. I think he looks great with that, but it's not real.
It's not real. And and I am so envious,
yeah.
and I am looking forward to the day that I too have a partner who's going gray.
I don't know why I'm so into it.
It shows that they've been through stuff.
Yes.
You know?
They have
There's
been through
stuff.
There's
a level of maturity there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's a man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But what universe would a straight cisgender man ever look at a woman and be like, oh, I'm so happy she's going gray?
I think they exist.
Do
think they exist.
Okay.
Yes. I think that it's like our society as a whole
mm-hmm.
doesn't see it as sexy,
uh-huh.
as sexy as men going gray.
Yeah.
But I think that there is a level of like, she's been through stuff.
Mm.
She's mature.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, but my brain is always confused when I see a female face that's really smooth with gray hair. And I'm like, how old are you exactly?
I know. Are you?
Hmm.
Are you lucky?
Hmm.
Did you get lucky?
What's your doctor's name?
Yeah. Can I have your doctor's name?
Is this natural?
Hmm.
Hmm. Anyway.
We were doing our live stream last night.
Yeah. It was such a fun live stream.
It was a great live stream.
Like, join our Patreon. We had the best time last night on the live show chatting with Taste Buds.
But all I could do was look at the way the light was hitting my face. And I was just like, well, damn it.
Yep. This is it.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Speaking of the live stream.
Yeah.
I have one more item.
Okay.
Do I owe this person an apology?
Okay.
Okay. Last night, I was running late to our live stream.
Yes.
The roads were terrible. Thousands of car accidents. And so our live stream is at 7:30. I'm in my building at 7:29. I'm furiously hitting the elevator button. Like,
yeah.
Bang, 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 bang. Earlier in the day, we'd gotten a note that like, oh, one of the elevators was broken. So there's only one elevator in the building. And I get into the elevator. It finally opens up. I see it coming down the floors. It finally opens up on the ground floor. I jump in. I start pressing the door closed button and right as the elevator starts to close, I hear the garage door open and somebody walks over to the open door button and they hit it.
No, no.
And I started screaming, no. And the poor guy that hit the open button walked right in front of the elevator doors. He's looking at me. I am still screaming no, making eye contact with him. The doors then start to close again. And now I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Like into the distance.
Yeah.
Normally I wouldn't like think I need to apologize to this guy.
Yeah.
But I saw him in the garage. Our spots like face each other.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have to see each other again at some point. And he probably thinks I'm nuts.
Yeah.
Should I write a note on his car and say I'm really sorry about the elevator incident?
I wouldn't leave a note on his car because there is something creepy about admitting you know what car he drives.
Yeah, but people
you know,
are looking at each other down there.
But I would say the next time you see him,
mm-hmm.
be like, hey, I'm so sorry I yelled that one time. I was so late and blah, blah, blah. And here's what was happening. I panicked. And I sort of blacked out. I'm so sorry. And kind of make it a joke, but I would apologize in person.
But if you're the one mixing paper in the glass and can receptacle and vice versa, then I fucking hate you.
Kathleen, have you ever found something that is not Googleable?
Hmm.
Like, for example, if you have a song stuck in your head, but the song doesn't have lyrics.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and you're like, it goes da 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 da. So I was trying to Google how to keep from running into your partner in a house because Dennis and I always run into each other. We always end up wanting to be in the same place at the same time, and it is annoying.
Are you, like, crash bumping into each other?
No, it's more like when he wants to make breakfast, I also am in the same area, or, like, when I'm doing laundry, all of a sudden he is also doing laundry. Like, we're, like, just always ending up in the same spot of the house, and it's driving us crazy.
It's driving you both crazy?
I mean, it's mostly driving him crazy. I think it's kind of funny.
You know, I feel like this is a thing that Neil sometimes, like, complains to.
Yeah.
He looks at me and he's like, why do you have to be
yes.
here right now?
Exactly.
And it's just because I gravitate to wherever he is.
It was just sweet.
Yeah.
So I was trying to find solutions. And so I Googled what to do if you keep running into your partner. Mm-hmm. And I started getting, like, why do I keep running into the same person? Or how to avoid people you've broken up with, right?
Yeah.
It's like that kind of thing.
Because there's no way to word it
yes.
so that a machine device will be able to, like, recognize exactly what the solution you're looking for.
Exactly. And it's like, well, I'm trying to go back through my Google search and see exactly how I phrased it. How to keep out of each other's way.
Yeah.
I Googled.
Yeah.
Well, then it gave me results of how to cohabitate when you've broken up.
Mm.
How to live together when you broke up with somebody.
I literally don't know how people do that.
Right. How to keep from bumping into each other. And then I was getting, like, what to do when you bump into differences in your relationship. How to create emotional safety. Protect yourself from COVID-19 with people you share a home with. 5 tips for sharing a home during a divorce. I was like, none of these things are what I'm actually trying to Google. And that it turns out that issue is just ungoogleable.
It's because, Bethany, it's a psychology thing where you just want to be close to your partner.
But it's
cute. It's adorable.
Sure, but I would still like hard and fast tips on how to keep from.
Okay.
The problem is that all of the terms you would use to describe this issue
yeah.
are also used for emotional things.
Yeah.
Like bump into, run into.
Yeah.
Like,
you can run into a wall. You can also run into a problem.
Right. Yeah. And so I cannot Google. I can't get an answer.
And, like, what is the polite way for Dennis to tell you, like, can you leave me the fuck alone?
I know. And so ultimately.
Yeah.
He has to make his breakfast first and then I make my breakfast because he's usually hungrier than I am.
Your kitchen is not that small.
But it's laid out in a weird way where the only one person really can fit behind the counter. Like, it's a larger space, but the counter.
Yeah.
There's like a counter, a side counter that attaches to it. And then again, another counter behind you that has like the stove and the microwave and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like the space between the two counters is like a one person space.
Okay. So you kind of have to like have a chart and like Dennis
yeah.
will make breakfast at 7:15.
Yeah.
Bethany will make breakfast whenever Dennis is done.
Like, yeah, because I eat before a workout because
yeah.
I'll get lightheaded. He doesn't. So
mm-hmm.
he's usually hungrier when we're done working out in the morning.
Gotcha.
But it's just, it's I would have liked some tips and tricks from people on the internet how if they've had similar issues, but it's ungoogleable. You cannot search for it.
The other day, okay, so we have in our apartment, we're lucky enough to have 3 bathrooms, 2.5 bath, right?
Yeah.
And the half bath, it's a laundry room.
Okay.
People don't really use it. I just toss my dirty laundry in there and shut the door, right? It's right next to where my washer dryer towel is.
So one would argue you could just throw it a little bit to one side and you'd hit the laundry room.
Yeah, but then I have to look at my laundry in the hallway and
Understood.
I just
okay.
like to, you know, if I have a drying rack, I open
yeah.
it up, put it in the bathroom, close the door, whatever.
Okay.
Okay. So then we have the cat bath.
Okay.
Which is technically our guest bathroom, but it's where we keep the litter boxes, right?
Totally.
Okay. And I have been doing this thing, and it reminds me of Dennis saying, like, Bethany, stop being where I am.
Yeah.
I've been doing this thing where I will get half ready in my primary bathroom,
yeah.
which is an ensuite of my primary bedroom, and then I'll get half ready in the cat bathroom because
okay.
I'll keep, like, my jewelry and my perfumes in the cat bath
yeah.
and, like, my makeup and whatever in my primary bath. And the other day I was trying to get ready, and Neil is like, I cannot take a shit. You need every single bathroom. You cannot do it. I'm choking. And And it's kind of like he feels like I am everywhere.
Yeah.
All of the time.
I've also said this before, but, you know, how many stories do you have?
Yeah.
I remember when COVID first hit and everyone was just stuck in their house. Uh-huh. Kristen Bell saying that. Dax Shepard, even when he wasn't in a room, he was in a room.
He was in a room.
Because his energy is just really big.
You monopolize every space around you. That is me.
You are a small person with apparently a big energy.
But does Dennis feel that you're monopolizing space or you're just like, you're a tall person?
Here's what it is.
So your presence is felt more greatly.
I'm always trying to use my time wisely.
Uh-huh.
So this sort of came to a head in a joking way yesterday morning. He was like, look, I'm hungry. Yeah. We woke up late, so he was extra hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm just going to make my breakfast and then you can make your breakfast. Is that cool with you? I was like, absolutely. He went to get his things out of the cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, while he's over there in the cupboard, I'm just going to slip over to the fridge really quickly and grab a seltzer.
Yeah, I mean, that's
just because like he's got his back turned.
Yeah.
I'm using my time wisely.
It's a natural thing.
Just as I opened the door, he turned to get to the refrigerator part of his morning breakfast. And he was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
He was like, I thought we came to a conclusion. I was like, we did. That one was on me. I really was trying to use my time wisely. I won't. You know what? I won't. Like, I can't anticipate his movements.
No, you're right. You're right.
So that one was on me.
You tried to like really sneak in.
Yes.
And it backfired.
It totally backfired.
But, you know, had he not turned around at that moment, you could have been scot-free with your seltzer in hand.
Completely. Totally. So anyway, I mean, if anyone has tips and tricks on how to not physically run into your partner at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not metaphorically. Mm-hmm. Not emotionally, but literally, let me know.
Speaking of another quick relationship thing.
Yeah.
I had a friend who went on a date with a really, really wealthy guy.
Okay.
Because he has a profession where he helps people.
Okay.
I find that very attractive.
Uh-huh.
Like people who have talents like that, I'm always attracted to them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she went on a date with him.
Mm-hmm.
Bethany, the type of wealthy where if you have a Maserati and you get into a car crash, you're like, I don't know. No big deal.
Okay.
Right? Okay. I would have been curious to go on multiple dates with him just to see, just to peek behind the curtain of that lifestyle. But he was not a good kisser. And so she was like, I'm never going to go on a date with him
again. Good for her.
But can't you teach someone to kiss you the way that you like to be taught?
Sometimes, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this gentleman, no.
Okay.
And here's why.
Okay.
When you are in a field.
Yes.
I know what this person does for a living.
Yeah.
When you are in a field where you have a level of power like that, you have a level of not necessarily cockiness, but self-assuredness.
Okay.
Where I think that it would be difficult for that person to admit that they weren't good at something. And so I think it would be difficult to give that person feedback, especially on something as personal as kissing.
But isn't that just a generalization?
It is.
I totally see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And we're not saying the profession on this podcast, but this profession has like lots of people have written TV shows about how this profession, how they're cocky, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But I think, and maybe it's because I'm a shallow person, like just because he was really rich, I would have been like, okay, I'm going to try and teach him to kiss me how I wouldn't have married him if I didn't like him, you know?
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Make your own money.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I have like a pretty low tolerance for
people who date people just because they're wealthy.
Yes. It's like, well, my thing is like, what are you bringing to the relationship then?
I want to know where he's going to take me on like, I don't know, 5 to 7 dates. And then I'll like make a decision after that.
I'll also say this.
Uh-huh.
I'm also on your friend's side because in the past I have dated people who are incredibly wealthy.
Yeah.
And if you are not also at that level of wealth, it's incredibly weird because they have a lifestyle and a reality, a day-to-day reality that is so different from your lived experience that it's really uncomfortable.
So they can shop at Whole Foods without having to look at the prices.
They can do that. They can have someone else shop at Whole Foods for them.
What?
And not understand that that's not a normal thing.
What?
They can be stressed out that their house in the Hamptons doesn't have the chandelier that they wanted and it's going to ruin their day, right? Like, it's a level of, it's just it's a level. It's so different and it's distracting and uncomfortable unless you
also live in that world.
Okay,
I get it.
You know? And so I think, like, if he's not a good kisser.
Mm-hmm. Right off the bat.
It's just like, I just be like, oh God, you know, you can try to like teach him, but if you don't like him as a person and you're only trying to teach him how to kiss because you like his money, then it's like, who are you? What are you selling your soul for? Make your own money.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that tennis balls are not good for your dogs.
Oh, why?
Because the fuzziness of the tennis ball acts like sandpaper on your dog's and tooth enamel.
Oh, no.
And so as they're chomp, chomp, chomping this tennis ball, it's like squeaky grinding away at their tooth enamel.
Oh.
So if you – I read that, like, you can play fetch with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really want a tennis ball or your dog really loves a tennis ball, don't let them use it unwatched.
Yeah.
Like – play fetch with it and then be done. And if they need to chew on something, something rubbery, something that's a little bit more gentle on their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a friend, Dr. Lisa Littman, who's a vet.
Yes.
And she posted once on Instagram things she would never do with her dog. And one was let them have tennis balls.
Oh, I love her. She's such a good follow.
She's great.
Look up Lisa Littman on Instagram.
She's great. What about you, Kathleen? What did you learn this week?
Okay. Eons ago, do you remember me talking about in one of my topics in my news science headlines, I talked about a purple tomato that was being developed in England with the same amount of antioxidants as a blueberry.
Yes.
Okay. And so it's a genetically modified tomato.
Yeah.
And it has been approved in the United States by the USDA. Could be in our American grocery stores as early as next year.
Oh my goodness.
And because it's kind of like a posh tomato.
So dumb.
It's so stupid. Because still, I think it's something like Yahoo said, like 51% of Americans think that GMOs are bad.
Sure.
But that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much more complicated than just that. And so scientists are doing like early predictions that these fancy purple tomatoes, because their nutritional value is so much different than regular tomatoes, they taste exactly the same, that people are now going to maybe start changing their minds about GMOs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We shall see. Do they have a name for this tomato yet?
It's just a purple tomato.
It's just called purple tomato.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
It's not named after anybody or anything.
No, okay. It's not. Mr. Purple.
Yeah. Grimace tomato. Kathleen, where can people follow you on social media?
You can follow me at Kathleen Loves Color on everything and check out my new podcast.
Yes! Kathleen, it is so good.
Thank you. Thank you. We just released a new episode today about Thanksgiving DIY.
Amazing.
Yeah. About going into your backyard and picking out your tablescapes.
Ooh.
Like, get it free at the park. Anyway, the name of my new podcast is Kathleen Can Do It, at Kathleen Can Do It on Instagram, but we're on every single major podcast app.
Yeah.
Bethany, where can people follow you?
Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. You can also find our show on social media. Just search an Acquired Taste podcast.
Yes. Once a week, Bethany and Dennis, they do a live stream on Twitch. Even if you're not a gamer, it is so fun to follow and see them interact with people in the chat. Where can people find you on Twitch?
Twitch.tv/Dennis Callow, C-A-H-L-O. And it's just a website. Yeah. I used to think Twitch was this scary thing you had to download on your TV or something. No, it's just you click the website and there you are.
You know what? When I do tune in, I have the app on my smart TV.
Awesome.
And it's really fun to be able to like watch you on the big screen while I'm making dinner and stuff.
Yeah, we have a really good time.
I talk back and then I realize you can't hear me. And I'm like, oh, this is what it's like to listen to a podcast.
I know.
Where like you think you're friends with the people, but they can't hear you.
But they don't listen to what you have to say.
Speaking of Dennis Callow, Dennis edits our podcast and you can follow him on Instagram at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
Give us a call. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every single episode. That phone number is 917-994-0353.
Send us an email. Hello at acquiredtastepodcast.com.
And because I think we all need it.
Yeah.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week. Happy Thanksgiving!